All right, Acts 4 and Numbers 31. So Acts 4, I just want to remind us where we've been. We'll look at verse 32. It says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." Now we've come across this here and we've looked at, you know, really the cure for our selfishness, as we've seen, is to immerse ourselves in the Lord's church, and that's exactly what these people were doing. And part of that immersion in the Lord's church includes giving. That's what they were doing. They were selfless and they gave of themselves. So since we're looking at giving right here, and this is above and beyond giving, obviously, I mean, as it gives, we read in the next two verses that Barnabas had some land he sold and he gave everything to the Lord's church. So obviously this is sacrificial giving. This is above and beyond. But I do want to take the time to talk about tithing. What does the Bible say about tithing? And if we would, from there, from Acts chapter 4, let's go to Numbers chapter 31. Numbers chapter 31, if we would. Numbers chapter 31, and we will look at verse 41. This is some of the instructions that Moses is giving to the people as they're going to enter the promised land. God's told them, you're not going to get to go in. He knows that. He's giving them some instructions right here. And I want to notice something here in verse 41. It says, "And Moses gave the tribute, which was the Lord's heave offering, unto Eleazar the priest, as the Lord commanded Moses." Now, Moses, we could say, was the steward. Just like we looked at last week, the pastor is the steward of God. The Bible says that clearly, okay? Moses was the steward, so he was the manager of what belonged to somebody else. So Moses was managing what belonged to God. Okay, that's exactly what the pastor does. All right, and I want us to see something here. Moses gave the tribute, which was whose? Who did it belong to? It was the Lord's. So that offering, that tribute belonged to the Lord. Okay, which was the Lord's heave offering. And Moses gave it unto Eleazar the priest as the Lord commanded Moses. That's how it works. This is how God intends it. It's to take care of whatever needs are necessary. And in this case, it's specifically to take care of the priests. Okay, but God decides what happens with what belongs to Him. He's the one that gets to make that decision. And you can see clearly from the offerings that are given to the Lord, they're used to take care of God's men, God's preachers. That's what I wanted to point out with that. So now, as we get into giving, I want us to remember, we don't ever give to the church, so to speak. And I know we may say that sometimes, but we don't give to the church. I mean, the church is a spiritual entity. Really, we are. Okay? And I get it. We're all here physically and we're the kingdom of God. And I understand all that. But when we disperse and we're not together, we don't exist, so to speak, because we're not assembled together. Okay? So when we give to the Lord. Any money that is put in here is given to God for what God determines and what the needs of this ministry and the proclamation of the gospel. That's what it's given for in whatever means that may take, whether it's for the electric bill, the water bill, taking care of the preacher, taking care of missionaries, whatever it is, however it may be, when we put that money in that plate, we're giving it to God. Amen. And we have to have that understanding coming into it that we give to the Lord. We're not giving to men. Say, well, what if some man steals it? Then he stole from God. Amen. Because you gave it to God. I mean, honestly, that's how it is. You're giving to the Lord. And watch out for that guy that's stealing from God. That's all I have to say. Am I happy that men steal from God? No, of course not. Do I want that? No, of course not. But it does happen. But ultimately, they're not stealing from us. They're stealing from God because we already gave it to God.
That's right.
We already gave it to the Lord. And that's the attitude we have to have coming into it. That God gets to decide what happens to it. So now, as we get into this, okay, is tithing to be practiced by New Testament Christians? Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. Now, I know I'm preaching through the book of Genesis, but what I want to do, and this is I do this pretty much every time I preach through a book of the Bible, is if we hit on a topic that I feel like we need to expound upon, then I will. And I want to teach us on this. And we're looking at giving, so we're going to study giving. This is a topical study that we're looking at on giving as we've gone through in the book of Acts, we've seen expositorily, we hit on giving, so now we're going to kind of step to the side and look at this, okay? So, again, just want to mention, this is a study by Pastor Robert Sargent. He put together most of the material we use in the Bible Institute. So this much of this information is from him. So is tithing to be practiced by the New Testament Christian? All right, let's look at this. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. This is Old Testament, right? All right, thank you. I'm glad at least one of us understands Genesis is in the Old Testament. Amen. All right, maybe a few more of us than that. Okay, Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. It says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And get this, "and he gave him tithes of all." Now, it's talking about Abraham gave Melchizedek, the king of Salem. Who knows where that is, what that is? Jerusalem. Okay, so he was the king of Salem, the king of Jerusalem. All right. Now, we could get into a big old study on Melchizedek. You go look in Hebrews. Okay. I'm not going to get off on into all of that. Okay. I believe that this Melchizedek was Jesus Christ. You know, what's called a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord in the flesh. That's what I believe this was. That's who I believe this Melchizedek was. He's the king of Salem, and he's the priest of the Most High God. You go look in Hebrews, okay? He's our high priest, our great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Because where did the priests come from in the Old Testament? Where did you get your priests? What was it? The Levites, from the tribe of Levi. Where did Jesus come from? From Judah. He doesn't qualify then, does he? But he does because he's after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek had no beginning, no ending. We don't know where he came from. We don't know where he went. Just like Jesus. He's eternal. He's eternal. He's always been. Okay, and we could get off into a lot there. I'm not going to do that. But I do want to say that he's the priest of the Most High God. I believe it's Jesus Christ in the flesh. And it says in verse 20 that, "And he, Abraham, gave him tithes of all." Now, this is before the law is established, right? The law doesn't come until Exodus chapter 20 or so, right around there. That's when the law comes in the book of Exodus. That obviously hasn't happened yet. That's about 500 years down the road. So this is obviously not under the law. So we can see clearly that Abraham commenced tithing before the law. Because what a lot of people want to do today is they want to argue and say tithing is not for today. Well, it happened before the law. And fine, if someone wants to say that, fine, then you give above and beyond that, I hope. Amen. You better, because everything under grace was lifted up a notch. And we better have that understanding. But I think many times a lot of the people that teach that tithing isn't for New Testament Christians, I think a lot of the times they teach it is because they don't give at all. That's just my opinion. I know there's going to be some out there that don't fall into that category, but I think for the most part, many that do, that's where they stand. Okay, but here we see it clearly before the law, Abraham tithing, he commenced it. Jacob also continued it. Go to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, verse 20. It says, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." So he obviously learned that principle somewhere as well, and he kept doing it. Now, he's a generation removed from Abraham. I'm sure he knew him, obviously, as his grandfather. But he was doing it still. He understood tithing. "I'll give the tenth unto thee." So Jacob continued it. Moses confirmed it. Now we'll look at that. Leviticus chapter 27, if we would. Leviticus chapter number 27. And we want verse 30. It says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So all the tithe of the land is the Lord's. So there we see Moses confirmed it. Malachi commanded it. Go to Malachi chapter number 3, verse 10. If you don't know where that's at, just find Matthew and then start turning backwards. Malachi commanded it. He says right here in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, test me. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Verse 8, he says that God says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? He just tells him, bring in the tithes. Bring it into the storehouse. Malachi commanded it. Jesus commended it. Go to Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For here's what he says, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So he rebukes them because they're hypocrites, not for their tithing. He says, these ought ye to have done. He says, you should have done that. That's right. And later elsewhere, Jesus says that, you know, everything the Pharisees tell you to do, do it, because they're right. They're teaching you these things to do, but they're hypocrites about it. They're not doing it. They just act like it on the outside, but really they're not doing it. So Jesus agreed with it. He commended it. He says, this is a good thing to do. Ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Those were mints that you could find just on the roadside, and they'd get them and they'd pay tithes of those, basically. I mean, it was stuff that just grew in that area, the mint, anise, and cumin. Many of those things were just things you could just pick up and they'd tithe on them. That's how far they took it, how extreme they took it. But they left off the weightier matters. But he says, what they're doing is right. You tithe. Jesus commanded it as well. He commended it. God also commissioned it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Well, isn't that what the Levites did? They plowed. The laborer is worthy of his hire. So because they served the Lord in that manner, they ministered to God's people. God's people were to take care of them. God took from the offerings that were given, and it was given for them. Same thing right here, same principle. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. I mean, people need to give, is what he's saying. People need to give. Paul confirmed it, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. So they collect an offering every Sunday, the first day of the week. That's when you're to give it. That's what the biblical example is. A study of these scriptures shows that tithing is a scriptural principle. Abraham and Jacob tithed 500 years before the law was instituted. Moses, Malachi, and Jesus spoke of it during the period of the law, and the Apostle Paul explained tithing after the law. Based on this, I say Christians ought to tithe. Amen. They ought to tithe. And if you want to say, well, I don't think they should, okay, good, you're giving more than 10% then. And I'm serious, I'm dead serious when I say that. Look, to me, as I look at this, and even in my own Christian life as I've grown, but tithing is a baby step. That's one of the first steps a Christian should do, is give that 10%. Honestly, if you love the Lord, you'll be giving more than that. You'll give more than just 10%. And I think probably everyone in here does. I don't know, but I believe that our church does do above that, and thank God for that. But that should just be the norm. That should be just normal Christian growth. Say, well, God's not all about money. Yeah, but if it's where my heart's at. Yeah, but if He gets your heart, then He gets your pocketbook. Right. If God has your heart, He's got your money. You know, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
That's right.
So let me just say, if your heart is not in this church, let me help you out. I can help you and give you a means to have your heart in this church, in the Lord's church. The way to do that is start putting money in this offering plate as it goes by. If your heart's not in it, you start giving. Because Jesus said, where your heart is, where your money is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
That's right.
You start putting money into stuff, you start caring about it. Just think of any hobby you've ever had. And as you started putting money into it, you started thinking about it more, investing in it, learning about it. That's just how we are. That's nature. So if you want to love the Lord's church like you should, you need to give to it. So how should Christians practice tithing? Under the law, tithing was commanded. Under grace, we do not tithe legalistically, but because we love the Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. Bible says, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. What we're looking at there is the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ guides us and almost makes us do that because we love God. If He love me, keep my commandments. It's out of love for Him that we do these things. It's out of love for your husband or your wife or your children that you sacrifice for them, that you give to them, that you take care of them. It's out of love that we do those things. We understand that. Why not for the Lord then? Why not for the Lord? That should make sense. And honestly, this isn't a rebuke of anybody here. I believe everyone here gives above and beyond, honestly. I just want us to understand this. And as we love our family, we easily give to them and take care of their needs. And we try and even go farther than just their needs. And we want to give them the nicer things and take care of all these different wants and desires that they have. And we gladly do that. We work hard for it many times so that we can give them above and beyond. Why not do the same thing for the Lord? The love of Christ constraineth us. Let me ask you this. Do you think God would ask less love, less faith, and less cheerful giving from a New Testament Christian than from a Jew under the law? Do you think God would ask less? Tithing for the Christian is not a matter of bondage. It's not a matter of bondage. It should just be the natural response to a Savior that died for us and gave us eternal life. It shouldn't even be an issue. Start teaching your children at a young age to give. I mean, when our kids receive gifts, if it's a birthday gift, if it's Christmas gifts, whatever it is, we have them tithe on it. What? That's ridiculous. Well, don't you love the Lord? Teach them now to do those things.
Amen.
Teach them to give to God, that you'd have nothing without the Lord. Everything we have is because of God. So you can give. And teach them to joyfully give.
Amen.
I mean, when they earn money, get an allowance or something, teach them to tithe on it. Teach them to give to the Lord.
Yep.
If you can teach them to give a dime off of a dollar right now, and they learn that principle all the way growing up, then when they get $1,000, it won't be hard for them to give $100. It won't be. They'll be like, I've always done this. I'm just giving to God what's His. Make it easy for your kids to be able to give to the Lord. And with this comes an element of faith. Parents, I encourage you to live by faith. Don't run through the accounts and add all the money up and see if after we pay all our bills, if we can give to God. See, there's a principle of give to the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not seek ye last the kingdom of God. Well, if there's money left over, Lord, we'll give to you. That's not how it works. God won't bless that. That's not faith. Without faith, it's very difficult to please God, right? No, somebody help me. What does it say? It's what? Possible? Impossible, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please Him without faith. So if we, you know, go through our checkbook and line all our bills up and we say, I could pay this. Hey, and I got enough to tithe. Great. That's not faith. That's not faith. That's why we call it faith promise missions. By faith, I'm trusting the Lord. He's going to take care of this. And I've gone and I've sought Him in prayer. And this is what He wants us to give to missions every week. And whether I lose my job or whether I keep my job, I'm going to keep giving to God.
Amen.
That's faith. Sight says, I can't do it this week. That's not pleasing to God. See, we can't pull this from faith. Our giving has to be intimately connected with faith. That's what it is. We give to God the first fruits. That's what God desires. So the first thing you ought to do when you get your paycheck, you cash it, whatever, however you get paid, however it is like, this is God's, and then we'll figure out the bills after that. That's faith. Well, can God take care of you? Yes or no? My God can do anything except pay Visa. That's not faith. See, real Christianity is sometimes going to be hard. But man, it's amazing when you see God come through, when you live by faith and you say, God, I have no idea. We're not going to have money for food, for gas, for nothing if I tithe. If we give to you, God, we're not going to have money for nothing. Okay, Lord. And I mean, even a little reluctantly, you put it in. You're like, and you put it in. You give to the Lord. And you say, I don't know what we're going to do now. But it's amazing when God comes through. I mean, your faith will just be like, boom, through the roof. You're like, wow, God came through. God provided for us. This is amazing. My God's so great. My God's so amazing. I mean, it's awesome when God does it. Amen. It's like slaying a giant. Like, man, I can take on this giant. I've killed a bear. I've killed a lion. That giant's going to be nothing. That's what it does to your faith when you see God come through in an amazing way. But I'm telling you, so many Christians miss out on so many amazing things of God because they don't live by faith. They never see God work in an amazing, powerful way. Never. And they just go through humdrum Christianity. I'm not even talking, I'm saying they're saved. But they don't live by faith and they don't see God work in amazing ways. Some of the most amazing ways I've seen God work in my life has been financially. Some tangible way where I can see it, where God's come through when I didn't know how it was going to happen. And He did something amazing for us. And it's been awesome to build my faith, to grow my faith. I can look back and say, hey, I can face this giant because I know what God did for me in the past. And it's awesome. Oh man, it's so good. If you've experienced it, you're right there with me. Say, amen, pastor, that's good. That's exactly right. That's exactly how it works. But if you've never experienced it, you're saying, this guy is crazy. I can't do that. Try it. Try it. Let's go back to Malachi real quick. Some of you will be like, well, that's Old Testament. That's okay. Go back there. It's all given for our ensamples, the Bible says. It's given for us so we can look back at it. Have you ever read Hebrews chapter 11? You know what we call that? The Hall of Faith. You know what all those are? Those are in the Old Testament. Do you know that? And we can look at them as examples. Here's what God told them, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and get this, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Test me, try me, prove me. He's like, I double dog dare you. No, I triple dog dare you. Prove me. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. So specifically, that's talking to the Jews that were ripping God off, that weren't giving to Him what belonged to Him. But an application for us is if we will trust God and give to Him what He's asking us to give, He says, prove me. See if I don't take care of you.
Right.
See if I don't take care of you. Prove me. I triple dog dare you. I know you're scared. Trust me. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's what God's saying right there. So again, tithing for the Christian is not a matter of bondage. Where should a Christian place his or her tithe? According to Malachi 3:10, the tithes were to be brought into the storehouse, it says. For the Jews, that was the temple. But for us today, where would that be? That's right. Where would it be? Somebody else. Brother Josh pointed. Where would that be? Where do we bring in? Okay, we got two pointers. Amen. They're both right. Three pointers. Amen. We're getting there. All right, right here, right here. Four pointers. Right here. What did they do? We just read about in Acts chapter number 4. It said they came and they laid it at the apostles' feet. What would that be, though? It was at the church. That's where they laid it. Even if that church was in the open, at Solomon's porch or whatever, that's where they assembled together. And that's where they laid that money. And we see later in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, as we were reading that, every one of you lay by him in store on the first day of the week. When was that? When they assembled together as a church. That's when you bring it. That's the storehouse. The givings to happen in the Lord's church. That's where it's to go through. That's where it's to happen. All our giving should go through God's church. That's how it should happen. They brought their tithes and offerings to the apostles' feet. According to 1 Corinthians 16:2, we're to lay up our giving in store. Subsequent verses show this store was the church at Corinth, where the epistles were addressed. Today, the storehouse for your tithe, as we said, is the church. It is not God's plan for you to give your tithe wherever you decide.
Amen.
Amen. I had somebody that wanted to give to us, and probably would have been a good amount of money. But they're in another state, they're not a member here, and I said, no, you're not going to give your tithe here. No, you're not going to do that. That's not biblical. I think even, you know, we just got money from Old Paths Baptist Church. They sent us something here. That church sent something to this church. And that's completely biblical. We can see the Gentile churches taking up offerings to take to back to the church in Jerusalem because they were struggling. The persecution was great there. There was a famine, all this stuff. So that they were needy, so they took up offerings. All the churches, Paul and Barnabas, went around collecting offerings to take back to the brethren at Jerusalem. And they did do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't see individuals giving anywhere other than the local church. And that's where our giving needs to be, is in the local church. Because the local church is the pillar and ground of the truth. You see what happens, why they call them parachurch organizations. Okay, because they're parasites. A parasite lives off of a host body. That's what makes a parasite a parasite. Anybody ever had a tick on them? No, me neither, praise the Lord. I've had dogs with ticks though. I've known people that have had ticks. I mean, it could happen to anyone. You grow up in the South too, man. They're all over the place. You walk through tall grass, you'll end up with ticks on you. I mean, that just happens, okay? But what it is that for that tick, that parasite to live, it has to have a host body to attach to, and it feeds off of that host body. So all these parachurch organizations that are not a church, that are not connected to a church, that aren't under the umbrella of a church, that aren't the ministry of a church, so to speak, all they are parasites living off of the host body. Well, what's the host body? The church. So what do? They suck the life out of, they suck the funds, in other words, from, and people also, they suck the funds and people from the Lord's church, which is God's plan A and there is no plan B. And that's what they do. They're a parasite. They're not helping churches, they're killing churches. And without churches, none of these parachurch organizations could exist. But again, when we have bad doctrine, it enables this and pushes this. This is why I preach so much, because the Bible does, but this is why I preach so much against the universal church idea. Because the universal church idea has helped to kick this thing off and say, well, since we're all the church, it doesn't matter. I mean, you've got George Barna like a decade ago was saying, you know, don't go to church, be the church. Yeah. What, that's all universal church thinking. Amen. And it's false doctrine. And it begets false practice. So we don't want to do that. We bring our tithes to the storehouse, to the Lord's church. So whose is the tithes? Well, we saw it already, Leviticus 27:30, it is the Lord's. 10% of your gross income is not yours, it belongs to God.
Amen.
Someone says, well, I don't agree with tithing. Then you're giving more, I take it. Typically, the people that do that are not, they're going to be universalists for the most part. And they're not a member of a church because, well, we're all the church. Typically, I'm not saying this fits every case, but for the majority, that's what it is I've run into it. So how can I please my Lord when tithing? First, we need to give the Lord first place in everything. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, where are we at right now? Help me. Help me. Where are we seated? In heavenly places. This is the kingdom of God. Amen. Kill that bug right there. I don't know what that was. Get it. But where are we seated right now? We're seated in the kingdom of God. That's where we're at. And we're to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Look at that. Just pull off on the side right there. The kingdom of God is associated with righteousness.
Right.
Amen. The kingdom of God is associated with righteousness. Okay, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything, the material needs of life, God says, if you'll seek My kingdom first, if you'll take care of My kingdom, the most important thing on this earth, because His kingdom is where the Great Commission takes place. Okay, if you'll seek My kingdom first, then I'm going to take care of all the needs that you have. Every need you have, God says, I'm going to take care of it. Now, it doesn't say, let's look at it, because I want you to see it for yourself. Matthew 6:33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Amen. This is a faith verse right here. To do this, you got to live by faith. Right. We're going to pick up in verse 25, Matthew 6:25. All right, it says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's talking about the lost, is what he's saying by that statement. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and He says, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? He's talking about needs. Food and shelter. So I'll add all that to you. I will take care of your needs. He didn't say, I'm going to take care of all your wants. Amen. Amen. He didn't say, I'm going to take care of all your wants. See, this goes right with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where we're to be a living sacrifice. Because we've been so Americanized and we followed after so much of that philosophy and that teaching, and it's made us think a certain way that we expect to have all of these things. I mean, I've heard so many people say, I could never live without my phone. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. I could never live without my car. Yes, you could. They did it for thousands of years. You know, we've only really had it for like 100-something years. It hasn't been that long that we've had cars. You know, you can live without it. God says, I'm going to take care of all your needs, not all your wants.
Amen.
Now, praise God, we live in a great country. We're blessed that we can have some of these additional things, but God never promises to give us all these extras. He says, I will take care of your needs. You'll have food and shelter. That's what God is saying right there. He's saying the fowls of the air, they sow not, they don't plant. They don't reap a harvest. They don't gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. He takes care of every bird. Think about that. Amen. Every bird, He takes care of them. Man, I love it now in the summer. We got our lawn, and you can go out there every once in a while, and you'll see birds picking around in it. One of them pop up, and he's standing there, you know, with a worm hanging out of its mouth. And that's just our heavenly Father taking care of them, and they didn't plant anything. I know they didn't plant that grass. If anything, they just helped put weeds in it at best. But God says, I'm going to take care of all your needs, not your wants. So what do we have to do? Give the Lord first place in everything. In everything. That's faith. That's faith. And then we honor the Lord with our first fruits. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse 9. Man, God's so good to us. Here's what he says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. The first fruits. Remember, we got to give to God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So we honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Whatever you're increased. All right, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God says, I'm going to take care of you. What does it mean that your presses shall burst out with new wine? Let me just hit on this so someone doesn't think it's talking about alcohol. That's talking about a bounty in your harvest of your grapevines. That new wine is grape juice. That your presses would burst out with new wine. You'd have an abundance of a harvest is what it's talking about. God says that we first, though, need to honor him with our substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's what God expects of us. So we're to set aside the tithe first before all. That's what God wants. Before all other bills, all other expenses. If you leave the tithe until last, God usually misses out. That's how it works. And that's by sight. That's not how the just are supposed to live. The just shall live by faith and not by sight. See, that's how the Gentiles do it. The Gentiles do it by sight. That's not supposed to be us. Hey, the Gentiles seek after all these things. We're not to live like them. We're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means we may have to stop living by sight and start living by faith. I mean, the only time faith is real is when it's tested. Because when everything's easy and you can see how it's going to happen, that's not faith. But I'm dead serious when I say, look, when you don't know how you're going to pay the bills, and it's either I'm going to give to God or I'm going to, you know, pay these bills. I'm going to give to God or I'm going to buy groceries for my family this week. What is it? That's where faith gets real. We know our finances for the most part. We know where we stand most of the time, you know, and we'd say, well, I know I'm going to be able to tithe and I'm going to be able to feed my family. I just know that's going to happen because, well, the Lord's been blessing so much, we have enough. So I know. So it's not always an issue of faith, because sometimes God's blessed us so much and we have everything that we need. But it becomes a matter of faith when we know that it's like, man, I'm going to give to God or I'm going to buy food for my family or pay this bill or I won't be able to pay it. Which one's it going to be? And that's where faith is tested. When you lose your job and it's like, oh, okay, now do I keep my missions commitment that I promised God, that I told God I would do this every week? God, I believe you're going to provide for me every week. I believe you're going to take care of that, Lord, like you said. That's when faith gets real. And God says, give the first fruits. Give by faith. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And teach our kids to do it too. Teach our kids to pray for it. Man, I love getting my kids involved in giving to missions. From when they were little, I mean, a dime a week or whatever it was, whatever they felt like as they talked to God about it. But just seeing God provide for that. I love seeing that. I love watching that happen. Sometimes it was through me giving them, which just reinforces the promise that the Father gives to the child, just like our Father gives to us. Amen. How many of you grew up in fear? And maybe some of you did, but for the most part, most of us grew up not fearing that we were going to have food to eat. Now, maybe in some instances that might have happened, but for the most part, we look and we'd say, no, my parents are going to provide for us. My dad's going to bring home food. My dad will do what's necessary to feed us. And maybe we didn't have everything we wanted or as much as we wanted, but we're all still here alive by some means. Because as children, we trust our parents. And they did. Someone took care of you to get you to this point. Somebody did. And that just reinforces the same principle that we can look to God. God will take care of us. He's done it for Christians throughout the centuries. And he'll do it for us today too. Are we willing to live by faith though? Let's pray.